You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
You know, I never thought that we would see a crossover between True Lies and Pulp Fiction, but here we are with True Fiction.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's what I got for an intro. I was trying to think, like, how else are we going to do, like, True Grit, Pulp Fiction, True Lies, True Story? That's another movie that was made with a true story. Like, just these generic freaking names for movies like this.
Well, the working title was False Nonfiction.
I was about to say, maybe we should have got Bradley to do the intro, but nah.
Well, you know, funny enough, too, this is not the only movie called True Fiction made in the last year. There was another one in Korea called True Fiction, and they're just like, well, I guess it's too late to change the title now. We're just going to keep
it. Is it the same? Is this like a whole Olympus Has Fallen, White House Now, or the same movie? Or does it just happen to be the same title?
I think it's just the same title, because that one has to do something with, like, an MP son-in-law and a mayoral candidate who take a trip with one of their girlfriends to a vacation home, and they meet a mysterious neighborhood boy, and, so you know, generic Korean horror thriller kind of thing, or violent thriller, which is not this movie here, True Fiction. Now, I didn't know anything about this movie, but Chris apparently got a request from somebody saying, please review this, we would love to hear some thoughts about this kind of thing. And who better to voice this movie off to than Brad and Alan over here? Because, unfortunately, I ran out of time to watch this movie. I had some other stuff planned. But I actually really, really am curious to hear what you guys think about this. So, basically, what is the plot of this movie, if someone could sum it up?
Yeah, I'll start off, and it's like, it's funny. He's like, yeah, throw it to Alan. This guy's giving, like, the lowest to everything. So let's see what he thinks.
We got a whole bunch of bullcrap on here. Let's see if Alan likes it or not.
But yeah, just to quickly sum this movie up, you're dealing with Avery Malone, and she's in an interview to basically work with a writer that she's just been admiring the whole time, Caleb Conrad. And she's like, yeah, he's my favorite writer. I want to be his assistant. I want to work with him. I'm an aspiring writer myself. And in the interview, it's like from the get-go, they're asking you, like, really, you know, fucked up dark questions about just, like, all sorts of, you're like, what exactly is going on? But yeah, they're basically just trying to find somebody to work with this guy because he's trying to write a book and it's not really working out. So he's just trying to get an assistant to help deal with the workload. And eventually she does get accepted into it. And she, you know, they drive her out and then there's cabin. And yeah, she's just like, she meets up with him and it's like, hey, I want to write another horror book because that's my thing. I'm trying to deal with true fear. I want to know what fear is actually like, real fear. Hey, sign this waiver. We're going to go through some weird shit, but I want to know what real fear is like. And that's the basic setup for this movie.
Okay, I don't think she read that waiver.
Oh, fuck no. She literally isn't reading the waiver, which is hilarious.
She total Apple iTunes that. Now, I hope we can say Apple iTunes on this podcast. Oops. And just clicked agree without thinking. And that interview was a total Klondike bar interview, if you ask me. They were like, would you clean up after him? Would you make sure the house is tidy? Would you take off your shirt? Can you take off your shirt now? And I was like, awkward. And the movie looked very right awkward at me and was like, oh, you think this is awkward? Buckle up. You know, so.
Oh, boy.
You ain't seen shit yet.
Yeah.
By the way, I love that term, Klondike bar interview. That's a term I need to use now. That's a good idea.
Well, but I think we've all had them, right?
It's less of that. It's like, yeah, when you think of Klondike bar, what do you think of? You think of, hey, what would you do for Klondike bar? That's literally what the interview is. What would you do for him? What would you do for him? What would you do for him?
Is there something you wouldn't do for him? And it's said in like a creepy, like, here we go. Here come the tears. Look, are you going to be his slave or not? Indentured servant. I'm sorry.
Sorry, indentured servant means that you actually get a little bit paid for it.
Right, right.
I don't think that's what indentured servant means. I think it just means you're literally serving them until you die.
She's paid in, it's a bullshit term, she's paid in experience, and she's paid in internships. Getting to meet her hero, you know, crap like that.
So, I'm interested. So, now, this seems to be a horror movie, like flat out, right, then? Or...
Yeah, so basically what happens is it is a psychological thriller, and what happens is, like, he's trying to get real fear. So what he does is he's like, okay, I'm going to sit you down and watch these, you know, this kind of like montage of random war edited stuff to get a real illicit fear out of you. And then he's like, okay, I'm also going to lock you up, and I'm going to basically put this sensory deprivation on there. Because the whole thing he's trying to do is he's trying to get her to be afraid. He's trying to get genuine fear. He doesn't want some actor, actress, whatever. He's like, I'm going to try to scare you, and then you're going to tell me what you're feeling, what you're seeing, and all that stuff. And originally what you're kind of thinking, and this reminded me a lot of Ex Machina, of this weird kind of inventor guy that gets this handpicked person to come over just to kind of fuck with them. And you see how much that Caleb is actually fucking with her, where she's crying and freaking out. But she's like, wait, this is just for a book. This is just for a book. And as it goes on, it gets more and more weird, to the extent where it's like she's not sure exactly what's happening anymore. Because at one point during the war montage that they show her like two or three times, it cuts to a picture of her like sleeping. And she's like, yo, what the fuck was that? It's like, what are you talking about? There's nothing there. It's like, no. There was a man there that was in my bedroom. How'd you get that footage? What are you talking about? It's not there. And he replays it, and she doesn't see it. So it's like, whoa. What's going on?
So they're gaslighting her, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, there you go.
And you see that sometimes think, oh, this is super obvious. He's just kind of fucking with her. But the movie's really able to nail this kind of mess with reality. I don't know if you feel the same way, Bradley.
No, I agree. I was guessing the whole time until the very end. And even then at the end, I wasn't quite sure how to feel about it. Let's see. We have Caleb Conrad as John Cassini. And he does a really good job at flipping from...
No, other way around. John Cassini as Caleb Conrad.
Or is it? John Cassini is
What were we just saying about Alan messing up names on here?
At least he got the right ones.
Well, you brought up Korea, so I'm reading right to left. You tricked my mind. So John Cassini as Caleb Conrad, I think, does a pretty slick job at being incredibly creepy, almost pervy, and then suddenly like, whoa, Avery, what's wrong? And the concerned writer... I'm like, well, we could stop the project right now, Avery, if this is too much. You signed the waiver. You wanted to help me with my writing. I thought it was your hero. So his manipulation, or is it, is actually, I thought, quite brilliant.
Well, and even just looking at his picture here on his IMDb profile, he looks like a crazy author, just the way that he's, like, you know, with his hair and mustache and stuff like that. So,
and from the very get-go, the first time you meet him, it is weird. And again, if you've seen Ex Machina, it does, you kind of know what to expect, like, when you're walking in here. But one of the things I love is how in-depth they're going to, because sometimes when you see quote-unquote psychological thrillers, it just says that doesn't actually go anywhere. But as this, but again, with John Krasinski's character, and again with Sasha Garcia, Avery Malone, they're able to act in ways that you wouldn't necessarily expect. Like when Avery Malone is just using her face and she's freaking out and facial emotions, you believe whatever's going on. And as it's going on, when he's showing the footage, doing the sensory deprivation, she's seeing things, hearing things, losing her mind. And to the extent where she's like, she's not sure if there's a third person in the house. And you as the audience, you're not sure what's actually going on. You're not sure what's real. You're not sure what's fake. To the extent where one of my favorite scenes, and I wrote down the timestamp about 40 minutes in, where there's a conversation through a door. So just to paint it out, Avery Malone is outside the door, just freaking out because she doesn't know what's real or not. John Krasinski's character is on the other side of the door, and that's when the movie just starts going nuts. He is acting his ass off through a door, and she is acting her ass off through her face. And now at this point, you don't know what's real or not. You, the audience, don't know what's actually real or not. And I found myself going, I don't know what I would do in that situation. I don't know if he's fucking with her because he's trying to say this is all a game. They're all actors. None of this is real. But it is so detrimental to her psyche that she doesn't know if he's fucking with her or not. She has no idea if that guy's going to kill her. And I'm like, you nailed this. You got exactly what you wanted to do. You got me as an audience member, like, questioning reality at this point. And I fucking loved it.
Awesome. No, I'm excited because this seems to be getting some good word of mouth from, like, the early festival circuit stuff it's going through right now. And I don't know much about this director here, and director and writer Brandon Croft. Previously, he only did one other full-length feature, Feed the Gods, which, interesting title. But then he also, directed this thing called Hemorrhage, too. This seems to be kind of his niche of these weird, like, psychological horror drama kind of stuff like that. But, I mean, that's really cool sounding, the way that you're pitching this. Like, would you say there's any other, like, good things he does with, like, cinematography or filmmaking techniques that really helps this film? Or
Not really. It's less of he's doing good shot by shot. It's more of he's able to do a lot with very little. Because this, again, it's all set in this one house, so there's maybe, like, two or three actual, like, sets where they're jumping in between. And there's really, five actors in the movie, but he's able to make this feel like... the isolation you feel throughout this, because she's not able to leave, half the rooms are locked, and she kind of can only navigate like 2 or 3 square foot at a time. So it's less of he's doing incredible things, it's more of the minimalistic works so well in this, because you're like, there's nothing I can do, there's no escape hatch, there's no secret tunnels that are always in these fucking houses for some fucking reason. Like, this is a log cabin in the middle of the fucking woods with no way out, and it terrifies you, because you as an audience member going, how is she going to deal with this problem that we don't even know if it's a problem. We don't know if this is all in her head. So it's like it's this indecisiveness that works with this movie so well.
And before she goes to the cabin, sorry to interrupt there, Justin.
No, we get
to see kind of into a little bit of a day in the life of Avery Malone, played by Sarah Garcia here. And she seems a little off, but that could be because of the stress, you know, the pressures of being unemployed, which is just the worst thing ever at that age. And
I wouldn't know about that at all right now.
Oh, shit. Anyways. So, yeah, in the interview when they're like berating her with all these questions, I was starting to think, are these questions real? Is what she's seeing real? This is a really good manifestation of stress. Is it both? Am I stressed? Oh, no. You know, so the introduction to her character is great. And as you were saying, Alan, she's pretty fantastic also. I'm wondering if this writer-director is just really good at directing actors, or if everyone's just really talented for, as you said, a minimalist type of film.
I'd have to go with both, actually, because you have situations where the dialogue itself is decent, because if you just read the script, you'd be like, this is a little, you know, this could be generic at times. But the way that they're acting, again, the way they're able to use these lines of dialogue really, really well, but also the way they're acting on their faces, I think it's a mix of both, because, like, it's really hard to get an actor or an actress to emote this crazy fucked up stuff with just their face. But when she's kind of sitting there almost in a fetal position, you're just like, okay, you're able to explain every single thing without her saying, oh no, I'm so scared. I don't think she ever utters the word like that, utters that at all. He straight asks her, hey, are you scared? And she doesn't even respond with, yes, I'm scared. She's just kind of shaking. And it's like, you're able to get so much out of these with so little that I'm like, this is fucking incredible what you're able to do and how you're able to make this a true psychological thriller.
Wow, you are just, like, you are fanboying out on this movie like crazy. That's amazing.
Like, I am, like, I was worried I wasn't going to enjoy it, but then, like, again, 20, 30 minutes in, I'm like, you fucking nailed me, because you're able to, again, you're able to do so much with so little, and I fucking love it. So I know I'm probably saying I love this 100 times, but I fucking enjoy this a lot.
Well, okay, so Alan was getting nailed over there. Bradley, did this nail you?
Well, I liked it. It's horror. It's kind of gory. It's definitely psychological, and in the true sense, not just something that says it's psychological and you never really get into any kind of deep thinking with it. A couple of nits to pick. I thought the lie detector test sequences were a little silly, though, again, with these two actors kind of bouncing off of each other, it could have been a train wreck of a scene when they do those. Because, and this is just a personal bias of mine, I think lie detectors in films are silly in general, you know. But I've read too much true crime and have ridiculous, outrageous true crime opinions that an actual detective would laugh at. So that's, again, my own personal bias. The mystery behind everything, it kind of made me feel stupid, and that's a personal bias of mine. Like, geez, movie, why you got to talk down to me like this? I actually really enjoyed, you mentioned earlier, on the script you could see it and be like, well, how's this going to play out? There are sequences where you can think, oh, okay, this is like A Clockwork Orange. But he doesn't film it like A Clockwork Orange. This person could have, you know, it's a similar scenario, but the fact that he doesn't, pretty neat. There are situations that pay homage and not directly rip off, you know, some creepy shit that I've seen in the past. So I really enjoyed that. The video she was watching, also got to say, that was incredibly disturbing. I didn't care for that at all. I have a love of gore and horror, but I also have a hate for it because I usually can't stomach it. You know, how's that saying go? My eyes were bigger than my tummy when it comes to appetite. So I hated the video. It creeped me out real good, which, again, that's a stupid nitpick because that's what this person was trying to do to Avery. So, yeah, I enjoyed myself very much, and I'm probably going to watch it again.
Wow. This is some high praise for this movie. That's amazing. So, I mean, any other points to talk about before we move on to final thoughts?
Not really. You kind of nailed everything that we got. So, yeah, we can jump into final thoughts whenever you're ready.
All right, tell me more about how this movie nailed you.
I guess we'll start off with that. I really enjoyed a lot of the dialogue. I really enjoyed how the characters were able to work with what little that they got. I really felt like as an audience member, it was exhilarating the ride to determine whether or not this was real or fake, and then just seeing the character stop caring anymore and just go full crazy. And again, how they're able to get this minimalistic art style and minimalistic filming and able to work so much where you feel that there's so much history in this house just from what's going on, and how everything kind of dwells in together. And I love how you said, Bradley, you watched this again. I was rewinding stuff because I needed to see that again. Little bits of dialogue, hearing what the person was saying. Because I'm like, wait, I missed something. Oh, shit, I looked away for a second. Let me go back. So, like, this is an hour and a half movie, but I probably spent 2 hours watching it because of how much I enjoyed the little things that this movie was doing.
Okay, so this one is short, then, you're saying?
Right? Oh, it's very short. I think it's an hour and a half, like maybe an hour and 30 minutes, something like that. So it's, and that's great. That's perfect. You don't want to go too long because you don't want to sit there and pad. There's no padding in this. So, but I did find myself going back because I was enjoying the scenes so much. Like, there's certain scenes where I just had to watch again and again because I'm like, wow, you set this up so fucking well. So, yeah, but I think I'll just jump into my rating if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would you give it?
Oh, this is a 10 out of 10, like, well-done scripts. Like, wow. Highest praise I can give it.
Wow, that's some high praise. So that's awesome. Bradley, what did you think?
Well, you know, you certainly enjoyed this a lot more than I did, and I'm kind of scared to give it a review at all now. Is something going to happen to me? Now, am I even on a podcast? Who am I? my favorite thing about psychological horror, and I know this film had its flaws. Actually, I'm not going to mention any other films, because who knows? Our audience is pretty smart. They can get spoilers from that. Ooh. So I'll just say, I really enjoy... with psychological horror, when you don't know who's in over their head. And this film kind of jumps back and forth between who's really in danger here. Is Avery in danger, or is this an act? Is this writer in danger for winding up this poor girl? Like, what is the term? Like a wire around a freaking nail until something's going to happen if that goes too tight? Or is it? Maybe there isn't a nail. Am I a nail? Something nailed Alan. Was it this film? Who knows? And I actually enjoy being confused a lot, because that's how I learn, you know? We all learn by admitting we know nothing. And this really put me through the ringer. And as I said before, by the closing, I was like, wow, I really like that. I'd really like to find out what this was truly about. I personally would never spend a weekend alone with a writer. I know some writers, and they're often horribly terrifying people. Finishing any Stephen King
Justin,
book.
Yeah, we're terrible people, me and you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I bet you guys are. I'm not going to no secluded cabin with you. Mm-mm. You know, as they said, what's that joke? When you finish a Stephen King book, you appreciate the horror, but then you think, what the hell is wrong with Stephen King? Anyways, I'm going to give this 5 eye drops out of 7 scenes of war, famine, horror, gore, and being stuck at the DMV.
Because nothing's more horrifying than that.
Exactly. There were some crazy clips in that. What he showed her, but yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, no, I'm glad to see that you guys overall enjoyed this movie. So, yeah, I guess this is truer than fiction, stranger than fiction, however we want to talk this about this title of the movie. But, yeah, anything else before we close out?
Man, writers are fucked up, though. Like, 100%.